Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in okay. this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the
What is a woman?
What is a woman? A woman is someone who claims that as their identity. It could be many things to many people.
Shouldn't the first answer you should be able to provide is what exactly is a woman?
Well, it's actually a really simple answer, and that's a person who identifies as a woman.
But what are they identifying as?
As a woman.
But what is that?
As a woman.
Then what is a woman?
Mm. Great question. I'm not a woman, so I can't really answer that.
What is a woman? Why is that such a difficult question? You see, we live in a culture that likes to redefine terms to push an agenda. We've redefined truth. Oh, there's not the truth. There's just your truth, and you can have your truth, and you can have another truth, and you can have another truth, and it's all truth. We redefine love. We've redefined violence. Ooh, I didn't like that word you used, and that's violence. No. And so we live in a culture that's redefining everything so they can do whatever they want under their new definitions. And so I think it's a really good idea if we go back to the very beginning and start at the very beginning to take a look at what a woman is according to God's word. So we're going to start in Genesis, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. And then in chapter 2, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the animals and all the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man. At last, finally, the man said, he exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So let's make some basic observations about what we've read from these passages. God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right from him. Women were created to solve a problem. Women were created. There was a problem that existed even before sin. This was not a sin problem. This was, there's a man all by himself problem. And women were created to solve that problem. Eve solved that problem. And daughters of Eve, the tradition for you is to carry that on and continue to solve problems. As I thought about that, I thought about my mom. And growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. And my mom would make stuff for us to eat. And she would come up, well, I didn't have any sugar, so I used some Jell-O. And it was really good. And it was like, I didn't have any of this. And she would have the most bizarre thing that she would add to it. And it was pretty good. I was like, wow. Now, you got to know that there was a nice thick layer of Velveeta cheese over everything. A coating of Velveeta cheese will cover up a multitude of sins. But that's what my mom did. She solved problems. And she was very good at that. As we go on, Adam said, this is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. The first woman was created from a man. And that shows a dependency. There's a dependency relationship between man and women. Then it goes on, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. A woman is worth leaving previous relationships. If you give a 20-year-old man a choice and you say, young man, here's your mom and dad, here's your wife. Door number one, door number two. Which door would you choose? What door will that young man choose? Door number one? Door number two? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. This is why a man chooses to leave father and mother. Women, you have great value. You were designed to be treasured. So let's continue to flesh this out as we look at another character that lived this out. And to do that, we need a little bit of background. David was being hunted by King Saul, and he was running and hiding from Saul. He had 400 fighting men with him. Do you remember what David's previous role was? As a young man, he was a shepherd. And so when he went around with this fighting force, when he came upon other shepherds, he was good to them, and he protected the shepherds that were around him. And there was a time of the year that was a time of celebration and feasting and sharing with others, and that was sheep shearing time. It would be kind of like a Thanksgiving kind of thing. So you would have lots of food, and you'd celebrate with everybody that helped you during the year. Well, at that time, David had helped somebody named Nabal, and he was shearing his sheep, and so he sent some guys over and said, hey, I understand you're shearing your sheep. Hey, we helped you. Can you share some of your provisions with us? And all Nabal provided was insults and sneering and accusations. So David, because he was a fighting man, said, we're just going to go kill him. We're going to go kill him and his entire household. And that's where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 25, verse 14. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at them. These men have been very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. And you know this, and figure out what to do. For there is going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him. The servants said to Abigail, there is going to be trouble for our master. The observation we make here is that women are relational. Allow me to explain how I came to that conclusion. Even though her husband was rude, she was concerned for him. She would have, as we would look at that, she would have every reason, from our cultural point of view, leave that jerk. He's a jerk. Oh, he's going to die because of his mouth? He shot off his mouth to the wrong people? Let him die. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. She tried to save his life. And so she went to barter for the life of her rude husband. Verse 18, Abigail wasted no time. She didn't say, let me pray about this for 3 weeks. No, she took action. She quickly gathered. Now, these numbers seem crazy. How many loaves of bread? 200 loaves of bread. I mean, for me, think about going to Meijer. You have to go to Meijer and Martin's and Kroger's probably to get 200 loaves of bread. She got 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that have been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 fig cates. She packed them on donkeys. Wow. Then down in verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, I accept all the blame. What? She says, put all the blame on me. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't even know that the guys came from David. But she said, I accept all the blame in this matter, my Lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, as his name suggests. That's what his name means, is fool. Good job, Mom and Dad. Thank you very much. That's a bad name. Just a thought. You wouldn't want to name any of your kids fool. Just saying. But I never saw the young man you sent. Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought you and your young men. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I accept the blame. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Even when you were chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he has promised and has made you the leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. Women are relational, and we see here, women are good with words. Women have a language advantage. Get the picture. David left 200 of his fighting men back with the supplies. So he had 200 fighting men coming to destroy Nabal and all that he had. 200 men. Abigail comes with her charcuterie board on donkeys, right? 200 men, charcuterie board, and wise words. And wise words. And she won the day. She brought this snack for David, along with wise words, and she won. The average woman speaks 20,000 words a day. The average man, 7,000. Can I talk to the men for just a little bit? You can't out-talk them. Don't try. Don't try. Women are good with words. There are men, I don't know, ladies, you don't know about this, but we have these things called locker rooms, and men brag in there, and they'll tell stories, these fantasies, like, I argued with my wife and won. Oh, really? There's all kinds of fantasies like that. Women have an advantage with language, and their women's brains are different than men's brains. And that's not a put down on either one. It's just the facts. Our brains are different. They're wired different. We think different. So let's go on. Verse 32. David replied to Abigail, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning." Then David accepted her present and told her, "Return home in peace. I have heard what you said. We will not kill your husband." He didn't kill her husband. But guess what? God struck her husband with like a stroke, and he was in a coma for a period of time, and then he died. Guess what happened when he died? Abigail was a widow, but not for long. There's this guy named David who sent messengers and said, "Abigail, David would like you to be his wife." Why? Why? Because of what she did. Because of her wise words. So, let's talk about action plan. What's the action plan for a woman? Let me start out with a story. As you can imagine, my mouth has gotten me in a lot of trouble. And so, one time, when I was a youth pastor at the Zion Missionary Church in Elkhart, I told the story of my in-laws. He said, when I go to my in-laws, all the spoons are bent because they just dip ice cream with a regular spoon, and that's not what they're made for, and it bends the spoons, and all the spoons are bent. And you have to use everything according to its purpose. I was unaware that there was a spy in that church who reported to my in-laws what I said about them. And they lived in Mishawaka, which was about 10 miles away. The next time I was over at their house, my mother-in-law said, "Would you like some ice cream?" And you know what my answer was? Sure. And there was a spoon in it that was all twisted up. So twisted up you could not use it. And my father-in-law looked at me and said, "Don't you ever talk about us again." I just did. But he's in heaven and he can't hear. But everything has a purpose. Men were created for a purpose. Women are created for a purpose. And men, you can live any way you want to live. Women, you can live any way you want to live. But if you want to live according to God's word, you have to live that way. You were made for a purpose. And things would go better for you. And things would go better for spoons if they're used for the right thing. And things will go better for you. See, God said, I will make a helper who is just right for him. Abigail told David, then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. David said, we will not kill your husband. Abigail saved his life. Here's the action. Support your man. Support your man. Next slide. There you go. Support your man. That doesn't mean that you check your brains at the door. God gave you a brain. Use your brain. Abigail used her brain. But support your husband. Word of caution. Oftentimes, what a woman thinks is supporting her husband isn't. Oftentimes, a woman is helping her husband by actually being critical. Oh, that was terrible how you did that. Oh, did you know that? Oh, you could have done that. Here, let me do that for you. Oh, you did that wrong. Thanks for putting gas in the car. Maybe next time you can fill it up all the way. And women think they're helping their husbands and they're destroying what they want in their marriage. They're destroying intimacy. They're destroying trust in their relationship. You were designed to be supportive help. And that's how God designed you. And that's the role that you need to fulfill. We'll talk more about how that works in 2 weeks when we talk about what is marriage. But one of the quick tests, if you want to say, what's a test? How can I tell if I'm supporting my husband well or not? One quick test is there any unexplained grumpiness in your husband? Then, it sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy thing. Then you might have a problem with that. So, that's when women support, husbands feel that and it changes them. And you may say, oh yeah? Well, I'm just supposed to be this lowly servant helper of no value? No. Let me take that word helper and let me show you in Scripture where else that word helper is used. Psalm 70, verse 5. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Please hurry to my aid, O God. You, what, who? God, you are my helper and my Savior. O God, do not delay. That very same word that is used for a woman being a helper is used of God. God is our helper. God is our helper. And then in Deuteronomy 33:7, as Moses was blessing Judah, and this he said about Judah, hear, O Lord, the cry of Judah. Bring him to his people. With his own hands he defends his cause. O be his help against his foes. Women, your husband faces enemies on a regular basis. Be his help against the foes. Be his support. Be his helper. Marriage is under attack. Men are under attack. And your husband needs you to be his helper. It's not beneath you. to do that, any more than it's beneath God to be our helper as well. And when you do that, you are being godly. God said, be fruitful and multiply. David said, if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning. Multiply. Multiply the good. Multiply the good. Next action point. Multiply the good. She kept her husband and all the servants alive. Women multiply. That's what they do. This is a word for men. If you give a woman a word, she'll give you a sentence. If you give her a sentence, she'll give you a paragraph. If you give her a paragraph, she'll give you a book. If you give a woman a bag of groceries, she'll give you a meal. If you give her a house, she'll take the house and turn it into a home. If you give your wife a sperm, she won't give it back to you. She'll give it life and give you a baby. A wife takes whatever you give her and multiplies it. If you give your wife frustration, she will multiply that and give it back to you. Now, women, be careful what you multiply. Because you can multiply dissension or peace. You can multiply harmony or discord. You can multiply gossip or blessing. You're a multiplier. You get to decide what you multiply. And then God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Solve problems. Support your man, multiply the good, and solve problems. Abigail said, please remember me, your servant. It basically means I can help you solve your problems. How was the West won? There are so many Westerns about how the West were won. And we think of John Wayne. Well, Pilgrim, you better stop or you're dead where you stand. And we think, oh, that's, you know, it was the John Wayne people that really won the West. And if that's what you think, you would be wrong. It wasn't John Wayne that settled the West, that tamed the West. It was Jane Wayne. It was the women. The West was a madhouse of shooting, of drunkenness. And then the women showed up. And the guy said, you know, where are you going? Well, I was going to go into the saloon with the guys tonight. She said, you can do that. But if you do that, you get home, I won't be here. Oh. And it was the women being supportive, strong women that solved problems, that were able to eke out a living in the West. That was the women that won the West. Because they were strong and they solved problems. A number of years ago, the mayor of Philadelphia pulled into a gas station and he went in. It was long enough ago that, I don't know if you remember this, kids, you don't know this. They used to come out to your car and put gas in your car for you. That's really cool. The mayor went into the gas station. He came out, and his wife was involved in a lively conversation with the guy pumping the gas. And so as they're driving away, the mayor was saying, did you know that guy? She said, yeah, we dated in high school. And so the mayor was, you know, Well, like, so, honey, think about this. You could be married to the guy who owns a gas station or the mayor of Philadelphia. And she said, well, honey, that's not the way I look at it. He said, the way I look at it, if I had married him, he would be mayor of Philadelphia. I like that. I like that. When women are supportive, their men know the difference. And you can see by the quality of what people produce that there is a supportive woman behind him. Let me just give you where we are going in this series. So, last week we talked about men. Today we talked about women. And so far, no Rotten Tomatoes have been thrown, which I'm grateful for. Next week, see, boy, everything looks really good, right? Men, women. Next week we talk about sin. And sin comes in and messes everything up. And so we're going to talk about how sin affected the men and how sin affected the women. And then the following week, we're going to take that flawed man and that flawed woman and put them together in this thing called marriage. And talk about the havoc that that causes. So that's where we're going. So that you can, you have an idea of where we're headed. So women, my challenge to you is to accept your role and excel in your role of being a godly woman. And I want to challenge you the same way I challenge the men. If you're willing this morning to say, I want to be a godly woman, whether you're single or married, I want to be a godly woman. Maybe you're single and you say, would I get married? If I get married, I want to be a godly wife. But you say, I want to live according to God's word. Would you just stand up right now and I'll pray for you? If you say, I want to be a godly woman, a single woman, okay, let me pray. Father, thank you for these women that are standing. God, just as you use Abigail to change the course of that small army that David led, you can use these women to support their men. You can use these women to change the course of history. You can use these women to solve problems. You can use these women to multiply the good. You can use these women to change the whole atmosphere in this community. God, use them and bless them so that they can be obedient and faithful and productive in your kingdom. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.